A question I want to ask you right at the start this morning. It's quite a simple one. How are you? How are you doing? What did you say, Mike?
Tired.
It's too much golf again.
Yeah, it's far too much
golf again. Yeah, Joe will always agree with that, I'm sure. But just think about that question again, though. Put it into context of the week you've just had. How are you doing? How has your week been? Joe's saying not very good because she's a bit black and blue, aren't you? Slightly self-inflicted, I'm afraid to say, but, you know. But just think about it for a moment. How has your week been? I guess for some of you sitting here, you may well be in the fortunate place where you want to say, my week has been amazing, start to finish. I feel so blessed by God. This has happened and that's happened. Everything has been wonderful. For others of us, well, we're in a different place. We don't want to describe life like that. It hasn't been like that, and it doesn't feel like it's going to be like that for a while. And then others of us will be somewhere in between those two things. So without calling out, we're just thinking quietly to yourselves. I want you to just think about those things that have gone on this week that you've felt particularly challenged by, that have been hard, that haven't been what you wanted. Just think about that just briefly. And now let's try and balance that with thinking about at least one thing that you want to be able to say this morning. Lord, thank you for the blessing of that moment in the week. It might have just been a moment, but just think about one thing that you can say, Lord, thank you for the blessing of that moment. So now look, why am I starting here? Well, we're in right at the beginning of a new teaching series in Ephesians, and those things that we've just been thinking there are particularly important for us to consider this morning before we get into this. If you wanted me to respond to you, which end of that scale of this has been a rubbish week and this has been an amazing week am I at? Well, I have to say I'm closer to this end than this end. Lots has happened this week. Lots has gone on this week, most of which you know about in different things that we've been praying for as a church. Rachel and I add to that this week the news of a particularly close friend who's just been diagnosed with breast cancer. So, yeah, where do we start? What do we do? What do we say next? In the midst of all of that, one thing, maybe two things, maybe three things for some of us that we can say, Lord, thank you for the blessing that that moment has been. And for me, that would be all around, Lord, thank you for sustaining me. Thank you for the blessing of seeing us through and some of the particular conversations that I've needed to have this week. So back to that starting question, how are you doing? You see, the answer's not quite so straightforward, is it, if we're open and honest? But I'm glad you responded in the way that you did to begin with, saying, you know, how are you doing? Yeah, I'm all right. Okay, that's good. Because we need to acknowledge that in our lives. We need to acknowledge the blessing of God in our lives. Now, have a look at this picture for a moment. I love this picture. This is a picture I took when we were on holiday a few years ago, quite a few years ago, when we went to Mallorca. Matthew was about this big and Ethan wasn't even in our minds. So, it was a while ago. And I took that picture. I love that picture. Images like that, you get them all over the place, don't you? You get them on posters. You get them in the front cover of books. Inspirational images that say, be encouraged to live your life along this nice, neat, straight pathway with this amazing scenery all around you. God is good. Life is good. I wonder if we're walking that pathway. Or this next image, have a look at this one. Now this is a slightly contrasting image. There's some similarity because if you look at that image, you know about that other one, the life on that nice blue sky, nice scenery, straightforward pathway. Well, this isn't all that dissimilar because there's a nice, neat, straight pathway to follow if you wanted to. But this is a bit messier, isn't it? There are obstacles in the way blocking the view of that scenery that we would see. If you wanted to follow this pathway, you're going to get in a mess. You're going to at least get your feet a bit damp. It's less straightforward, isn't it? So where are we? Perhaps we would want to blend the two together, just put those two images together and think, well, actually, no, I'm okay with that first image some of the time, and I can see where I'm at in those moments. But actually, let's be honest, there are other moments where, no, the second image is the one that I feel like I'm living with. So perhaps both images are important for us to think about. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul there uses the phrase, the ways of the world. And you will have heard me use that phrase many times, I'm sure. The ways of the world. And he refers to that as the things that take people away from God. Perhaps the things that move us from the first image to the second image, maybe. He'd be talking there about things like, and Paul does this in his letters, he talks about against a me-first attitude. He talks against greed and selfishness and ambition, selfish ambition and injustice and hatred. And he talks about fractured communities and addictions and all of those kinds of things. And Paul would say that those are the ways of the world. Those are the things that take us away from God and into the more messy, complicated places. And as we get into Ephesians, we're going to see here that Paul's view in Ephesians is one that he wants to present to us to try and lead us back more towards that first image and away from the second one. He changes the perspective away from a mindset that has someone think that the only way that they can be living and absorbed by it are those ways of the world. Paul wants to move us away from those things and instead show us a perspective that is about living our lives God's way, my life God's way. And I'm using that phrase, my life, God's way, over the coming weeks, and we'll be thinking about a life that is shaped around the values that God holds rather than the values of the world. And we'll be thinking about ways of grace and loving kindness and acceptance and forgiveness and all that fills out what it means to be living a flourishing life, a life with hope and certainty the way that God wants us to know. That's what we're going to be engaging with. You know, this is what we can live for, isn't it? Being passionate about enabling people to refill in their lives the void that is there because they've taken God out, put him over there somewhere, put him on a shelf out of the way, nicely contained, but there's this void. What do you fill it with? If you've not got God there, what do you fill that void with? And what Paul is doing in Ephesians is wanting people to turn that around, get back to filling that gap with God again. Get back to knowing God's unending blessing is our focus for today. So using that first image there that I put up, my life, God's way, that's the one with the nice, neat, straight, easy pathway, the uninterrupted view, God's best that Paul is encouraging everybody towards in Ephesians. But listen, even though we're doing that, even though our focus is about staying on this nice, simple, straightforward, neat pathway, we'll still be living in and moving around in a messy world, and that mess sticks to us as well, and so we bring that to God as well. We know that actually, if we're honest, our lives aren't quite straightforward and simple like that, are they? But this is what Paul is wanting to bring us back towards again and again and again as he goes through his letter that we'll be looking at. Now, how we respond to that, how we respond to the things that we hear and the challenges of God's word, will depend, really, whether we are either already on or looking towards wanting to be on this mentality that says, I'm going to live my life God's way. I guess if we're not in that place, then we're going to respond differently. Just listen to this quote from my NIV study Bible. Says this, unlike several of the other letters Paul wrote, Ephesians does not address any particular error or heresy. Paul wrote to expand the horizons of his readers so that they might understand better the dimensions of God's eternal purposes and grace and come to appreciate the high goals that God has for his church. So that's all good, isn't it? We're dealing with a good letter here. One of Paul's, you know, more perhaps comfortable letters at the outset. He's not writing to give people a bit of a slap and pull them into line, perhaps like he was with the Corinthian church. Paul is writing here to broaden the horizons of the people of God in Ephesus. He's encouraging them how to understand, to go further and to go deeper into their relationship with God. And why is he doing that? Well, in that quote it said, so that the church might be built up all the more. Now, we've already thought a lot together this year about what it means to be church and where our vision is and where our focus is, and we're excited about Keith coming soon and all of those things. So are we about then to start another teaching series that is all about church and all about how we need to step up and do more and be covenant partners and blah, 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 all that stuff? Well, no. We're not, but I'll be honest with you, I do hope that where we are going with this study in Ephesians does have a positive impact on what we all bring together into this thing that we call Bromsgrove Baptist Church. But our main focus, though, is going to be more personal. It's going to be more individual. It's going to be more about ourselves, more about perhaps our individual walk with God, and then we bring that together as church. And it's when we do that that it's the outworking of the impact of God's teaching on our lives that makes the difference, isn't it? So today we're going to start here in Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to be thinking about seeing God's blessing that we already know in our lives. And then to go on to understand how there is more of that to come. So if you haven't already, turn to Ephesians chapter 1 in your Bibles, and I'm going to read the whole of the chapter. I kept trying this week to work out, oh, that seems a bit of a long reading, let's chop a bit out here and there, but I can't do that because it changes the integrity of the whole passage. So I'm going to read the whole thing. Following in your Bibles will be a good thing. So Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which has been freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding, and he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. And so, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. You know, Paul was never one for being shy and retiring or holding back his thoughts or how he was feeling. And this letter here, let me tell you, is going to be no exception. Paul just is bursting out with so much that he wants people to hear and to know. And he starts here in the only right starting place. He starts here with Jesus. Because for him, there's never any other right place to start. And it has to be Jesus every time, start to finish. Jesus is the source of blessing that Paul unpacks here. And as he explains what it means for him, and as he does that, you can detect so easily that he wants people to be careful with that blessing. I'm going to explain what that means as we go along. With all of that in place, he can say to the people here, go further, go deeper in your relationship with God. Don't be limited by anything. Let it shape your whole life more and more. And first of all, start with Jesus. This is where Paul's beginning. Now look, you know, when we turn to a letter like we've got here, we could easily choose to just ignore the first two or three verses because they're a pretty standard, you know, welcome, hello, you're great, I'm writing to you, we love Jesus kind of thing. Paul's good at that, isn't he? But please, don't do that. Don't dismiss anything that this letter to the Ephesian church starts off with. Because it's here, first of all, I want us to notice what Paul does. He identifies himself as an apostle of Christ Jesus. He's not just some random bloke who happened to think, one day I've got nothing better to do, I'll get this letter sent off to this church because it'll be a great blessing for them. But he is, neither is he self-appointed, but he is appointed by God, an apostle of Christ Jesus. He's writing out of the depth of his relationship with Jesus. Paul isn't just filled to the brim, is he, with his own sense of self-importance here. His starting point is Jesus, not himself. And then look at what he does then, just in the next little bit, how he addresses the Ephesian people who first got this letter. He called them saints, and I kept coming back to that as I was looking at this and thinking, that's quite a thing to say to somebody, isn't it? To describe them as saints. It just shows there how Paul's heart is being poured out as he thinks about these people. They're so important to him. And he's so impressed by them. He's saying to them, wow, look, you people, you are amazing people, full of the faithfulness of Jesus. And that's just so awesome. And then he keeps going from there. Next, we get the words of grace and peace that Paul shares. Not from him. They're not his thoughts. They're not his words. But they are from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet the words, you know, the words here are expressed by Paul to the Ephesians. But he has heard them where? He started with Jesus. That's where all this comes from. And so now in verse 3, he brings that all together in his praise because he knows the blessing of Jesus in his own life. And this is his launch pad for the rest of the letter that we're going to go through. So you see how important these opening few words are. Paul's launch pad for the rest of the letter, which we're going to come to in a minute, but just pause with me here for a moment, because I want you to do something with me. This is important that we can try and do this, and it links back a bit to what I was saying at the beginning about thinking about one thing that's gone on for you this week where you can say, thank you, Lord, for that moment. Just put the next lot of words up, Craig. You see the gap there. What I want you to do is put your own name into that. Okay, I can't say all your names all at the same time. But put your own name into that as you hear me say the rest of it. So stick your name there and then hear this. Jesus wants me to write to you so that you'll know how amazing you are to him. So that you'll know his grace and peace filling your life. And so that your life will be a reflection of praise to the Lord. Can you do that? Can you put your name there, hear those things, accept them, believe them, know that they're true for you? If you can't, then maybe that's because you're perhaps more used to hearing negative words spoken about you or your life. And so you've got used to living in that kind of way and you don't know what to do with it when it comes to words like this. Perhaps we've concluded that thoughts of good things, like the blessing of affirmation and encouragement are just not for us, they're for other people. Don't do that. These words are for you. They're for all of us. And when we're able to consider a my life, God's way kind of approach, one that starts with Jesus right from the beginning, then we'll hear these words and we'll know they're for us, without a doubt. You know, when we get to that place, it just drowns out everything else. It rewrites anything else that would get in the way. It gets rid of all the negative rubbish that would otherwise define us. And it replaces us with a godly view of the people that we are to him in Christ. Paul starts with Jesus every time. And then he carries on as he goes through here. The next thing I want us to think about is starting with Jesus. But let's be careful for a moment with this thought of blessing. Just picture for a moment Ephesus as a bustling, vibrant, prosperous Mediterranean coastal town. I'm going to put some pictures up as we go through this that Pete showed a couple of weeks ago, some of them, or something similar. Ephesus was the fourth largest city in the known world at the time. It was an important place, a big place. It had incredible architecture, an impressive main road system lined with pillars right from the city centre right down to the sea, and that was quite a long distance. It had a massive 25,000-seater theatre that was built there so that Ephesus could be like the cultural centre. It would host all the entertainment events of the area and attract major sporting events to the region as well. Religion was important in Ephesus. This is an image of one of the many temples around. It brought a diverse blend of culture and religion in beliefs into this one city. A bustling marketplace was at the hub of major trade routes through the whole of the region. And that was matched by other impressive architecture and a massive population crammed into a tight space. This was an important place. And I was wondering about what would our equivalents be like, and I thought, well, would that be Bromsgrove? Would we describe Bromsgrove like that? Well, possibly not. Maybe we would describe Birmingham like that, but perhaps somewhere like London would, you know, fit the bill completely, wouldn't it? So what does Paul do here? That's all great and impressive, but it's also the reason why I think Paul would want us to say, be careful with blessing. You see, Paul doesn't focus on any of that. He doesn't focus on all the achievements of the people in Ephesus. There's no sense in him of saying, oh, well done for the way in which you've built up your trade and commerce in your place that's attracted big name companies and all their money to you. He's not doing any of that. And there's none of him walking around saying, loving that building, you know, that modern architecture that you're using there. Well done. How did you ever think about carving stone in that way? There's none of that. Paul doesn't focus on what people have done because he hasn't got time and space for that. He's totally focused on what God has done through Jesus. And verses 3 to 14 are all one sentence in Greek. They're one continuous huge thought of this reminder of all the blessing that comes from God is from God, not our own efforts. So starting in verse 3, Paul is there with God as the source of every blessing, and his attention is still all focused totally on Jesus. He's never shifting away from that. Jesus, as we go through here, we have Jesus as God's choice of love in verses 4 to 5. That choice of love to secure release and freedom for our redemption. All planned and set in place through the riches of God's grace that he's lavished on us with wisdom and understanding. None of this is by mistake. It's all intentional on God's part. You know, there's plenty more packed into those verses as well that we could touch on. But just jump ahead to verses 13 and 14. With the source of every blessing being from God the Father, demonstrated through God the Son, now we see God the Holy Spirit being involved in that blessing as well. And Paul's description here is of the Holy Spirit holding it all together, sustaining that blessing that he started until the time is right for it to be brought to a completeness. And that's where our Christian hope rests, isn't it? In knowing that what God has started, he will sustain and he will bring it to a conclusion when Christ returns. So then why this sense of be careful with the blessing? Well, there are two things that I just want to touch on here that kind of focus on us not taking that for granted. The first one of those two things is that we need to grasp and get a hold of the fact that we have no right to claim but can anticipate that we will receive. And I'll explain those words again in a minute. No right to claim, but anticipate that we'll receive. And then the second one is that we need to guard ourselves against missing blessing. We need to guard ourselves to make sure that we seek blessing in the right ways and in the right place. So first of all, just very quickly, let's think about this. We have no right to claim, but we ought to be anticipating that we will receive. You know, the suggestion is made by some theologians, some people who have studied the Bible and think they've come up with the perfect answers. The suggestion is made that since God is our source of blessing and he loves to bless us, then I'm living my life following his ways. And so if I join those dots together, then I can wake up every day and claim the blessing that I think, hear that, that I think is due to me. That includes blessing over my health, blessings over how rich I am now, and blessings over how prosperous I'm going to be in the future. Really? I really struggle with that. You know, it makes me want to say, thinking about the health, so listen, does that mean then that because I carry the scars of cancer, both physically and emotionally, that I forgot to claim the right blessing somewhere along the line? Is that what it means? Does it mean that because I don't live in a massive mansion with a Mercedes, Porsche and Aston Martin in the driveway, that I forgot to claim what was due to me at some point along the way? Well, no, and double no. It's just that I can't get my head around that kind of thinking. If we think that we can exercise some right to claim and demand a blessing that we think that we're due, then I can't think of it in any other way than us trying to promote ourselves to a position of authority and control and relegating God to the place of our slave. That would be God's life, my way. You know, I don't want God's job. I don't want that responsibility. I don't want God's job. The one I've got at the moment is big enough. Thanks very much. I don't want to turn that around the other way. So what I'll do instead is I will choose to live my life God's way every time. You know, where I can anticipate his blessings in the way that God decides are best for me and the right timing. Then the second thing becomes relevant when we're there. We need to guard ourselves to make sure that we're anticipating blessing in the right ways and from the right places. You see, blessing is something that God longs to give us, but blessing is something that makes us feel good. It lifts us, doesn't it? Maybe we can even say that it completes us in some way or other. It's about knowing that sense of affirmation and encouragement through blessing. And in the midst of distress and struggle, there's blessing through the care and the support that we can know God surrounds us with. When we seek those things in any other way than from God, then we're heading in a dangerous direction. But if we're honest, we do at times, don't we? We immerse ourselves into our hobbies or our work. We live for buying stuff because that makes us feel great. We go places and we do things that make us feel good and it feels like a blessing, but it doesn't last. And so then we go around that whole loop again. Well, that's why we have the rest of chapter 1, and that's why we have the rest of Ephesians, because Paul urges us to realize that if we're serious about saying, I'm going to live my life God's way, then we need to keep going deeper and further with Jesus. We need to go deeper and further. Verses 15 to 16 bring us back to Paul's high regard for the Ephesians. He says, ever since he's heard about them, he's had a longing for them that's compelled him to pray for them, to seek more from them. That's important for us to hear, isn't it? You know, if we had somebody saying to us, you know, ever since I've known you, I have not stopped praying for you. Wow. Wow, what an amazing thing that would be to hear. Where in the village where we used to live before coming to Bromsgrove, there's a retired URC minister there who I admired. I don't know how he did sustain this, but I was walking along the street one day and he said, oh, wish Hannah a happy birthday for me. How do you know it's my daughter's birthday? He said, oh, because I've got a date of birth in my prayer book, and I pray for her every year on that day. And I've got Matthew's birthday in as well. And he did this for everybody he knew. He had them all there. He prayed for them regularly. Ever since I've heard about you, I have not stopped praying for you. What an amazing thing that is for somebody to do for us. It's a challenge for our prayer lives, people. And then in verse 17, he wants them to have this fuller revelation of God, to see more of him, to know more about him. This is what's filling out Paul's prayer. His desire that those he's praying for in Ephesus will know God more, will be filled with godly wisdom that has them shape their lives around Jesus and nothing else. And in verse 18 adds this, that he has this longing for their eyes of their heart to be enlightened. Paul is talking about our minds, everything that occupies our minds, being open to the possibility that of the hope that we have through Jesus. But more than the possibility, he wants them to know the reality of it as well. And then we come to verses 19 and 20 where he says, all power and strength are where? Are with Jesus, not with us. Verse 21 stands against anything and anyone who would try to change that. No power, authority, or person set in a place of rule. No title given to a person to tell others that they're in charge. No position of national or international importance. None of that will ever be able to stand above the power of Jesus. This is Paul's message. And then in verses 22 and 23, he says again that this is all about God's plan for the building up of his people, for the strengthening of the body of Christ, that's us, of church. It's verses 17 to 19 that I want us to just dwell on for a bit longer this morning, because this is where, for me, we see Paul's encouragement to go further and deeper with Jesus. Just listen to those verses again. Paul starts, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you through his incomparably great power for us who believe. I wonder how that prayer sits with you right now. This prayer that you will be filled with wisdom and clarity about the things of God. This prayer to be shown understanding of Jesus so that the hope we have in Jesus is clearly in view in your life. This prayer of confidence in the power of the Holy Spirit for those who believe. How do you feel about that prayer being for you? You know, I'm asking because that prayer is for you. It's for all of us. It adds meaning and purpose to this heading, My Life, God's Way. And without it, we end up back in that unhelpful place of my life, my way. Or trying to be convinced that God's life, my way, is ever going to work. You know, my way, that's a scary place. How will I know wisdom and clarity about anything if it's all down to me to sort it out? You know, how can right understanding ever be possible my way? Because if I go there, then my way is going to be different to your way and your way and your way. How do we do that? And power and strength. What will I do when mine runs out? Will that be the end of everything? You know, if someone is offering a way that transforms my limitations and my weaknesses into what Paul calls here glorious riches in Christ, then I want to take that for me every time. Well, here it all is. It starts with Jesus. It's filled out with blessing through Jesus. And it keeps going deeper and further into our lives because Jesus stays with us and sustains us in all things, no matter what. This is what My Life, God's Way is all about. What Paul starts to show us here is amazing, but listen, this is just the beginning. This is just the start. There's so much more to come. This is a foretaste of all that is to come for those who choose Jesus. So embrace this way. Embrace this way with Jesus. Let it be God's way that you follow instead of getting tied up in somebody else's way or stuck in your own way. Choose God's way now and every single time, knowing that all wisdom and truth and power and authority rest in him. And choose God's way now and every time, knowing that He will bless us and guide us when we need that. He will bless us by correcting us when we're going in wrong ways and wrong directions, attitudes, whatever. He'll bless us as He sustains us when we are weak, and He puts us back together when we fall apart. And Jesus is here to show us our future of hope. And so we head in His direction. We embrace Him. Choose the blessing of following Jesus every time. Amen. Amen. Let's just pause for a moment of quietness before I lead us in our response this morning to God's word. So you think about your response this morning. Let me take you back to where I started. How well are you doing? How well are you doing with the My Life, God's Way, way through life? And I mean here, how are you really doing? Not the response that goes something like, well, I'm at church, so I better give the right glossy coated answer because otherwise it's going to scare people. But the real answer, how are you doing? My life, God's way. Where are we going to seek blessing, comfort, approval, satisfaction? Where are we going for those things? Are we going to Jesus or somewhere else? And what about that statement where I invited you to add your name to that statement that was on the screen? I hope you could do that. And so hear Jesus telling you how amazing you are. And how He wants you to know His grace and peace filling your life. And Paul's prayer for you to be filled with wisdom and clarity about the things of God. For you to understand more about Jesus so that hope is clearly in view. To have confidence in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pause again in a moment. And in that pause, just think about how much you have let that prayer be said over you. And how much you've responded by starting with Jesus every time. Just take some time to think about those things. Let Jesus meet you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, thank You for this moment where we can bring ourselves to You in response to Your word. Lord, thank You that we can do that before we sing our final hymn. Otherwise, the words we'll be singing we won't be singing with integrity. We won't be singing in truth, spirit and in truth. But Lord, You know that's where You want our worship to be. So Father, I pray as we go from here, as we reflect more about how we're doing right now with living our lives Your way. Then, Lord, go on inspiring us and growing us through Your word. Father, where there are things where we know we've turned that around the other way and we're trying to live our way and we're wondering about the things that we're struggling with and we're feeling rubbish about the things that we know we've done that perhaps we shouldn't have done or we've forgotten to do that we should be, where we're in all of that place, Lord, then draw alongside of us again. Bring us back to a place where we can start with Jesus every time. Help us to know Your strength. Help us to know Your guidance, Your power in our lives, over every aspect of our lives. And Lord, as we sing now, we're going to sing the word, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Lord, help us to get into these words. Not just sing to Him because we like the tune or whatever, but Lord, to get really into these words and sing of the blessing that we know through knowing Jesus in our lives. So help us to do that now, Lord.